Well, today's cross word, you might realize we're going through a series of words relating to Jesus dying on the cross. Today's cross word is regenerate. And the reading that will help us understand this word a bit more is from John chapter 3, and it's printed on the order service sheet. So let's read together. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake into the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Well, may God bless the reading to us as we study it. Now, today's crossword, regenerate, which in the dictionary that I looked up means reformed or reborn, especially in a spiritual or moral sense, might be one that you don't use very often. But perhaps, with me having given that explanation of what it means to be reformed or reborn, you'll have maybe realized why today's reading focuses on the importance of being reborn and is really helpful to us. In case you hadn't quite made that connection, let me give a summary of today's reading for you. Nicodemus was one of the Pharisees. These are the most important religious Jewish leaders. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. Nicodemus was, if you like, an equivalent to a highly respected professor of theology at Oxford or Cambridge University. He knew his Bible. He knew from what he read in his Bible that Jesus was somebody special. He knew from what he observed of what Jesus was doing that Jesus was somebody special. And this caused him to come to Jesus one night and say, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." However, even with Nicodemus's knowledge of the Bible and his understanding that Jesus was someone special, he was still left perplexed with what Jesus replied to him. Because Jesus answered in a curious way. He didn't really answer the question. He said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And so, I say, you might be forgiven for being like Nicodemus and being perplexed and bamboozled that Jesus would have answered the question that way, because it gives the impression that Jesus didn't answer the question. But hopefully you'll understand in a few minutes' time that he did answer the question and that it was an important answer that Jesus gave. Nicodemus, like maybe many of us, took Jesus' statement in a literal, physical way. He said, and you might forgive him for saying it, "How can someone be born when they're old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." We've all grown up. We would never be capable of considering going back into our mother's wombs. And so Nicodemus was perplexed by this. So if you're feeling like him, and you don't understand what Jesus meant when he said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again," or you've always been confused and looked at people skeptically when you've heard them talk about born-again Christians, or maybe that term scared you a bit, hopefully today's service will help you. Even if you haven't explored these thoughts much before, the topic is worth looking at because Jesus says elsewhere in John 3:3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Okay, so that verse 3 in chapter 3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Okay, so this is important. He was speaking to all of us when he said that. Nicodemus is not a special case. You and I must be born again, or we will not see the kingdom of God. That means that we will not be saved, we will not be part of God's family, we will not go to heaven, but instead we'll go to hell. So it's definitely something worth finding more out about. So let's turn to the question, what happens in the new birth? What is regenerating all about? And I will try to put the answer in three ways. Firstly, it's not getting a new religion, but it's getting a new life. Secondly, it's not just merely recognizing that Jesus is supernatural of God, but experiencing the supernatural Jesus yourself. And thirdly, it's not just about improvement of your old human nature, but it's about the creation of a new human nature, a nature that is still really you and forgiven and cleansed, but a nature that is really new and is formed by the Spirit of God dwelling within you. So let's look at this first point. What happens in the new birth is not getting a new religion, but is getting a new life. Read with me the first three verses of John 3 on your order of service there. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" John makes sure that we know that Nicodemus is a Pharisee and a ruler of the Jews. The Pharisees were the most rigorously religious of all the Jewish groups. To this one, to Nicodemus, Jesus says in verse 3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And he says even more personally in verse 7, "You must be born again." So one of the points here is, of all of Nicodemus's religion, of all his amazing Pharisaic study and discipline and law-keeping, none of this can replace the need for him to be born again, for a new birth. In fact, hopefully, having all this religious knowledge will make it more obvious that he needs to be born again. What Nicodemus needs, and what you and I need, is not a religion, it's not a set of rules that we have to follow, but it's a new life. And the point of referring to new birth is that birth brings around a new life into the world. Many of us are so happy when new life comes into this world. I have two sons, and it's such a happy moment when these two boys came into the world. Many of you will have experienced that as well. In one sense, of course, Nicodemus is alive. He is breathing, he's thinking, he's feeling, and he's acting. He is human. He's created in God's image. But evidently, Jesus thinks that he's dead. There's no spiritual life in Nicodemus. Spiritually, he's unborn. He needs life, not just mere religious activities, not more religious zeal, not just doing more religious things, not just coming to church more often, not just praying more often. He needs more than that. So Jesus often spoke about being dead and alive in a spiritual sense rather than a sense of mortality like we normally would. And in fact, in Luke 9, verse 60, Jesus said to the man who wanted to put off following Jesus so he could bury his own father, Jesus said to that man, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead." And that means that there are physically dead people who need burying, and there are spiritually dead people who can bury them. In other words, Jesus thought of people in terms of life. Jesus said in the parable of the prodigal son, the father says, "This my son was dead and is alive again." You might know the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son was never dead. He was still alive and well, but he was dead in terms of his spiritual life. Nicodemus didn't need religion. He needed this life, the spiritual life. And so what happens in the new birth is that life comes into being that was not there before. New life happens at new birth. So not a religious activity, discipline, or decision. So that's the first important point from this reading about new life, about being regenerate. It's not religious activities, it's a new life. The second point is that we need to experience God's supernatural powers, not just affirm that Jesus was a good guy that did some amazing things that were from God. It would be a mistake to think that new birth is only recognizing the signs and wonders that Jesus did. It's more than that. It's experiencing God's work in you too. In verse 2, Nicodemus says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." So in other words, Nicodemus sees in Jesus a genuine divine activity. He admits that Jesus is from God and Jesus does the works of God. And to this, Jesus isn't impressed. Jesus doesn't respond by saying, "I wish everyone in Palestine could see the truth that you see about me. I wish everyone could see that I am from God." But instead, he says, "You must be born again, or you will never see the kingdom of God." So seeing signs and wonders and being amazed by them and giving them the miracle worker credit for them, that he's from God, saves nobody. I suppose an example of that for us might be, we might have seen the wonderful answer of prayer to something in our lives. But just being amazed by that is not enough. That's not new life. We need to take that step further and see the new life in us that comes from Jesus. So this is one of the great dangers of signs and wonders. The old fallen human nature can be easily impressed and amazed at them. And the old fallen human nature is willing to say that the miracle worker is from God. Even the devil himself knows that Jesus is the Son of God and works miracles. Nicodemus, seeing Jesus as a miracle worker sent from God, is not the key to the kingdom of God. Jesus says that he must be born again. So in other words, what matters is not just affirming Jesus' supernatural powers, but experiencing the effect of these powers in yourself. The new birth is supernatural. Supernatural just means from God, in case you think supernatural is used in other contexts. It's from God. Supernatural is not natural. It's nothing that we can do. It cannot be accounted for by things that are already found in this world. And verse 6 emphasizes the supernatural nature of new birth. It says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." So the flesh is what we are naturally, and the Spirit of God is the supernatural person who brings about the new birth. Sometimes we refer to that as the Holy Spirit. Jesus says this again in verse 8. He says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it goes, where it comes from, or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Spirit is not part of this natural world. He is above nature. He is supernatural. Indeed, he is God. He is the immediate cause of the new birth." So Jesus says to Nicodemus that what happens in the new birth is not just affirming the supernatural in Jesus, but experiencing Jesus' supernatural powers in his life. And therefore, friends, in your own lives too, you must be born again, and not in any metaphorical, natural way, but in a supernatural way. God, the Holy Spirit, must come upon you and bring new life into existence. So this brings us to the third way of describing what happens in new birth. What happens in the new birth is not the improvement of your old human nature, but the creation of a new human nature, a nature that is really you and is forgiven and cleansed. And it's a nature that is really new and is formed in you by the Spirit of God dwelling within you. The water and the Spirit that Jesus refers to are aspects of newness when we are born again. And the reason that both are important is this. When we say that a new spirit or a new heart is given to us when we trust in Jesus, we don't mean that we cease to be the human being that we've always been. I was the individual human being David Strudwick before I was born again. And I'm the individual human being David Strudwick after I was born again. There's that same continuity. That's why there has to be cleansing. If the old human being, David Strudwick, were completely obliterated, didn't exist anymore, the whole idea of forgiveness and cleansing would be irrelevant. There would be nothing left over from the past to forgive or cleanse. The Bible says, quite a few times in different ways, that our old self was crucified. That's Romans 6:6. And that we've died with Christ, Colossians 3:3. And that we are to consider ourselves dead, Romans 6:11, and put off the old self, Ephesians 4:22. But none of that means the same human being is not in view throughout the life. It means that there was an old nature, an old character, or principle that needs to be done away with. So the way to think about your new heart when you become a Christian, a new spirit, a new nature, is that it's still you, and so it still needs to be forgiven and cleansed. That's the point of the referring to the water. My guilt must be washed away. Cleansing with water is a picture of that. We know that when things are dirty, we cleanse them with water. And in fact, Jeremiah 33:8 puts it like this. It says, "I will cleanse them from all the guilt of their sin against me, and I will forgive all the guilt of their sin and rebellion against me." So the person that we are, that continues to exist, must be forgiven and the guilt washed away. But forgiveness and cleansing isn't just enough. We need to be new. We need to be transformed. We need life. We need this new life that we're talking about. We need a new way of seeing things and thinking things and valuing things. We need a new way of thinking about what is good and what means importance to us. Sometimes people are fascinated by money and the pleasures of this world, but a new life should change that. So that's why Ezekiel speaks of needing a new heart and new spirit in chapter 6 of Ezekiel, verses 26 and 27, where it says, "I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." The heart of stone there means the dead heart that was unfeeling and unresponsive to God before the new birth. So before we become Christians, we don't really care what God thinks. We don't really care what he wants us to do. It can respond with passion and desire to do lots of things, but nothing necessarily to do with our love towards Jesus. And so that has to change if we are to see the kingdom of God. So in the new birth, God takes out the heart of stone, stone that you can't change. Think of a lump of granite in Aberdeen. You can't do much with that. It's just as it is. It can't be molded. Instead of heart of stone, we have a heart of flesh that's moldable by the Spirit. It's responsive. It responds to what God wants us to do instead of being lifeless. So this new, warm, touchable, responsible, living heart is like a soft lump of clay that the Holy Spirit molds each day as we go through our Christian lives. Our heart and mind will take on Jesus' character more and more each day if we have this new life. So the word regenerate, to be reborn, well, it's not about religious rules, but it's about getting a new life. It's about Jesus recognizing that he not just performed special wonders and miracles, but he's our Savior. And it's about being forgiven and cleansed, and it's about the Holy Spirit creating a new nature in you that really is new and is being formed by the Spirit of God dwelling within you. So as we draw to a close, let's focus on verses 15 and 16 from the reading. It says, well, reading from 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So the Gospel of John makes something else clear as well. Jesus is the life that the Holy Spirit gives. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He also said, I am the bread of life. And in John 20:31, said, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So there's a lot of the word belief, believing there. And so it really is important that we experience new life through faith. It's the only way we can do it. So I invite you now, in the name of Jesus and by the power of his Spirit, to trust in him and receive him as the sin-forgiving, transforming treasure of your life. If you'd like to know more about what this means and how you go about doing that, please do speak to me or one of the other helpers here during lunch. Let's close just now in prayer as we reflect on what we've heard today.